Our text for this evening is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We know that as we read this, that it is the Apostle Paul writing as directed by the Spirit to the church in Corinth, the first of two letters. And he identifies the group that is gathering there as those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the title of the sermon this evening, Bible Sanctification. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. One thing we need to be aware of is the fact that the greatest blessing that God gives to man is the opportunity to have their sins removed. If you were to ask the question of people and say, what is the greatest blessing that God has given, they would oftentimes say Jesus Christ or His Word, but we need to understand that the Word gives the directions how to become in Christ so that we can have our sins washed away. And therefore, I think it's a proper statement to say the greatest blessing that God gives man is the opportunity to have their sins removed. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, we see the Apostle Paul, again, as always, writing and directed by the Spirit. He's this time writing to the Ephesian brethren. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We know that all spiritual blessings belong or are in Christ, and we can only have those spiritual blessings if we are in Christ. We can only have our sins removed if we are in Christ. And then we see in verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Oftentimes people get confused on how we are chosen. We're going to see this. We're going to see how that we are sanctified, as he said in our text, to them that are called to be saints. He also says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The predestination was not the individual being predestined, but the plan of God, predestined from the foundation of the world, that those who would be called by the gospel and would be obedient to the gospel would be those that would enjoy the heavenly blessings or the spiritual blessings in Christ. And it is through him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's because sin is the blight that separates one from God. Oftentimes, we fail to realize that when we are separated from God, it is we who have done the separating. It is because we have sinned, because we have transgressed the law of God. This was well known even to the prophets in Isaiah's day. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah was called by the Spirit to go and talk to Israel, and given these words to say, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." In other words, the Lord knows what's going on. He is fully aware of the sin of Israel, and he is able and willing to hear. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." It's because of the hardness of the heart of Israel and the sin that enveloped their entire existence that caused God not to hear them at times. God calls upon mankind to receive the remission of sins and to live godly in this life. And we're told this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. It is God's intention and God's purpose to offer us the way of salvation through Bible sanctification. There in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. If we are indeed called of the gospel, if we are indeed called to be saints, if we are indeed sanctified in Christ Jesus, then we should strive to live holy, because he that called us is holy. We also see in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 that he has called us unto eternal glory. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. As we go through this life, there is going to be trial and tribulation. There are going to be troubles, and we know that. Notice that the eternal glory that one can have in Christ will not come until after we have suffered a while. And that suffering must take place in this life. Let's examine 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 this evening, that we may fully understand the state of having our sins forgiven and being sanctified while living in this sinful world. It is a matter of fact that we live in a sinful world, but we do not have to be of the world. We have been separated out. We have been sanctified. The word sanctify, being defined, it is a Greek word. It means to separate from common condition and use, to make hallowed, to be pure, to be righteous, ceremonially or morally, to be holy, to separate, to consecrate, to cleanse and to purify. And if we do not understand the word sanctify, surely we understand the meaning of some of these. But note that in our text that Paul equates the church of God with the sanctified. Those who are sanctified are the church of God, which is, by the way, the same thing as the church of Christ. It is not the human designation that man has put upon it. Because it belongs to Christ, it also belongs to God. But Christ purchased it with his blood. But those to whom Paul is writing, as directed by the Spirit, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, set apart, hallowed, by Christ, or in Christ. But what are the sanctified separated or cleansed from? We've already pointed out that sin is what causes one to be morally defiled or unclean or unholy. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4 we can see this, as he's writing to the seven churches there in Asia Minor, and we see that the letter that is written to Sardis in verse 4 says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And what he was saying is that there were some that were being faithful, even in Sardis, while the rest of them were going down the road to destruction. In other words, some remained sanctified. Therefore, the sanctified are those separated from sin and from the world. You know, the Christian will then be separated from the things that the world loves. You know, there's a lot that the world offers that is made to look pretty interesting, enticing even. But we have to separate ourselves from it. Not to say that everything in this list in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 3 through 8 is fun or interesting or enticing. But notice, if you will, the list that is given here and the admonition that is associated with it. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We have a comparison here with those who are sanctified and those who are the children of disobedience. And we can be in one camp or the other, but we can't be in both. And therefore he says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Do you not think, when the admonition was to come out from among them and be ye separate, that he's talking to the world? Oh no. He's directing this to the church because they were sanctified. He says in verse 8 there of Ephesians chapter 5, "For you were sometimes darkness, but are now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, you have participated in that which sanctified you, which separated you out of the world, which translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Walk as though you have been translated. There's no doubt that man had a love for the world at one time in their lives. In the Corinthian letter we find, "And such were some of you." After this long list of deplorable sins. But you're washed. You're sanctified. Man's love for the world is to be replaced with a love for the truth when they're baptized into Christ. In fact, in order for them to become baptized into Christ, they have to have already recognized what is truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And to apply the truth is to apply the teaching of Jesus Christ that is given through the Spirit to the apostles, written down, recorded for us, so that we might know how to be sanctified. We're told in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, how this applies. Our love for the world is to be replaced with the love for the truth. It's no problem finding something to love. The truth of the matter is that all will find something to love. But what is it to be? Well, according to this passage, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That does not mean that we cannot love this planet that we live on. It does not mean that we cannot love many of the things that are beneficial to humanity that God has provided. That's not what it's talking about. And we know this because verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world," and he identifies, "the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." In other words, what he's saying here is those who have been sanctified according to the Bible and according to what God has revealed to us and remain sanctified or set apart, separate from the world, when the world is destroyed, they will not be. That's because the sanctified are in Christ Jesus. The question then comes up, how does one become to be in Christ? Well, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 has the most direct answer to that question that can be found in the Bible. We're talking about Bible sanctification. How do we become sanctified? We are sanctified when we are in Christ. Well, how do we become in Christ? "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I'm in my jacket today. The reason that I'm in my jacket is because I put on my jacket. If we can't understand the statement in Galatians 3:27, maybe we can understand that analogy. It's not the greatest one. But I was not in my jacket until I put on my jacket. We are not in Christ until we have put on Christ. Consider, if you will, the spiritual fellowship of one existing in Christ Jesus. Christ lives in me when I abide in the faith. The Apostle Paul was directed to write in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 about what it was that caused him to live as he lived. We know the life of the history, some of the history of the Apostle Paul when he was known to Saul, when he went about persecuting the church, when he took Christians out of their homes and he took them before the magistrates and that sort of thing. But we also know the transformation that took place when he was approached by the Lord there on the road to Damascus. And he was told to go into Damascus and there be told thee what to do. And he was told then what to do. First and foremost, he had to be obedient to the gospel. He obeyed the gospel. And his life was transformed. His life was changed, not because of the event that took place, but because of the instruction that he received following the event that took place. And then he wrote, as he was directed, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What is he saying? He's saying the single largest influence within his life is Christ Jesus. and the Word of God. In other words, that is what causes him to do the things that he did. The faith, then, is the gospel message of the truth. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 tells us this. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Conversation there means manner of life. So only let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else are absent, I may hear of your affairs. What? What are you going to do? You're going to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's how you remain in Christ. That's how the Philippians were to remain in Christ. That's how they were to remain sanctified. Also, of note, is the fact that the sanctified are those who have been called to be saints. I had a dental appointment shortly after I left the work world, so to speak, and had been asked to come over to Mooresville to help out. Mooresville had suffered a terrible situation, struggling along, folks trying to preach and teach. Had a preacher, hired a preacher. The preacher had to leave for whatever reason, and they said, come help. So during that time, I went to the dentist. And the dentist said, what are you doing now? I said, what do you mean? I'm sitting in a dentist chair. He said, no. You left work. I said, oh, that's what you're talking about. Well, I'm preaching for the Mooresville Church of Christ. Oh, you got the calling. Oh, yes. Long time ago. He didn't understand what I was talking about. This calling that he was talking about was the mindset of people, how that all of a sudden I have an epiphany. Ooh, the Lord spoke to me and I'm going to go preach. No, that didn't happen. The New Testament reveals the sanctified are those who have been called. In the Roman letter, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we're going to see several places where we are called to show that those sanctified are those who are called to be saints. The calling that we all receive when we become children of God is to spread the gospel. Whether publicly or whether privately, we're all called. We can see this by looking at this verse and many others. Romans chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, speaking about the Roman brethren, to the Roman brethren, among whom are ye, the Roman brethren, also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. How were they called? Well, they were called by the gospel. We'll see that in a moment. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, another group of Christians elsewhere, those who were sanctified, those who had been biblically sanctified or set apart, called out of the world. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Galatians 1, 6. He goes on to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But that which called them out was the gospel. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. We could go on and on and on with these passages that tell us about being called out. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What were you called to do? You were called to be a child of God. How were you called to be a child of God? By the gospel. What happened when I obeyed the gospel? I was sanctified. I was set apart. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, I wish a lot more people would receive the call, because it changes your entire existence. It calls you out of darkness into light. It calls you out of the world into Christ. But you have to be obedient to the call. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The fact of the matter is, unless you're sanctified, that you will not be part of the kingdom. If you're not sanctified and you're not part of the kingdom, you're not going to have the glory that's spoken of here. And then again, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So what do we have here? We have the sanctified, or those who have been called to be saints. The gospel is that which calls men and women to be sanctified, calls them out of the world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, again we see the writings of the Apostle Paul is directed by the Spirit to this Thessalonian brethren in the second letter. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. And you say, well, wait a minute. From the beginning he called you. No, you got to keep reading. You got to see what's being said here. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. There were none called until such time as the gospel was delivered to man and subsequently preached. The first gospel calling took place in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, that morning when Peter and the 11 stood up and received words of the Spirit and spoke them to the people, and the people said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had been called so that they might be sanctified when they obeyed the gospel. Verse 14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Why? Why are we called? For what reason? To what end? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read that passage, stop and think about, when did the Lord receive his glory? He received the glory when he went back to be with the Father. What are we working for? Well, I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. Now, I want all y'all to go too. I want us all to go. But each of us have to answer the call for ourselves. It's also interesting that the Greek word translated sanctified and saints is the same word. And so, in our text, when he says, those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, comma, called to be saints, he's saying the same thing, just in a different way. And so, the sanctified, having been called by the gospel, are the very ones that call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the Lord calls man through the gospel, and man calls upon the Lord in prayer and worship. In Psalms chapter 6 and verse 2, long before the gospel was preached, we see that the psalmist has written for us, recorded for us, is directed by the Spirit, the words we find there. He knew that he needed help to get through this life. And he called upon the name of the Lord. He said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Now, which one of us could not say that in our lives? Which one of us could not pray this very same prayer? Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. And then in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we find Ananias, the faithful servant of God, having been convinced of the Lord that he was to go to Saul and he was to talk to Saul, the same one who was prone to drag people out of their home, to take them and do whatever to them because they preached Jesus. And he went and he found Paul praying. I've actually had people to pull that on me and say, you know what? When Ananias went to Paul, Paul was praying, or Saul. Saul was praying. Of course he was. Why, he was a Jew. And therefore, rightfully could say, our Father. And under his teaching and under his instruction, he thought he was still doing what God would have done. But he had recently found out that he was going against the Lord. In fact, on the road to Damascus, the Lord said, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? You're going against the way that you're supposed to go. I want you to go to Damascus. There is going to be told you what to do. I'm going to use you to spread my gospel. And what was Ananias directed to tell him? And now, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? You're here, you're praying, you spent 3 days, you're not eating. You're worried about your situation. And more people should be worried about their salvation and their situation. But then he told him what to do. It's not just enough to worry about it, is it? We got to do something about it. And Saul had to do something about it. And now what hearest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And look at this last phrase. Calling on the name of the Lord. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Wasn't he calling on the name of the Lord when he was praying? That's not what that phrase means in this case. It means being obedient unto the gospel. And so, the sanctified call upon the name of the Lord Jesus when they are sanctified. We know this because Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, here's our situation. Let's look at the world we live in, the religious state of things today. There are people in this town, in this county, if they still meet in the evenings, that are gathered together, and these people are using the name of the Lord. They're saying they are calling upon the name of the Lord. And some of them will use this very verse, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That does not negate any verse that talks about salvation, or any other verse that talks about salvation. So what are we going to do with that? We need to explain what it means to be calling on the name of the Lord. Remember our text, the latter part of it, "And to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." In other words, those who appeal to the authority of Christ. The authority of Christ is contained in His Word. We can say, well, now, wait a minute. What about the difference between people back then? And what do you mean? Well, there were two specific groups of people. Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, just prior to what we read earlier, the apostle was directed to write, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." And here's why. "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." What is this saying? This is saying that all that call upon Him, or all that are obedient to Him, are subject to receive the blessings that one has when they are sanctified, or when they become in Christ. Now, we've also got to continue to work. We've also got to continue to strive to remain in that good relationship. Timothy was told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." How did they receive that pure heart? They received that pure heart by applying the Word of God and remaining pure, and in so doing call on the Lord. The idea is to appeal to His authority. You know, man's interest goes through a metamorphosis when becoming a Christian. I've talked to people before and they say, "You know, I used to think this, and now I understand and I know this, but I sometimes still use the wrong phrases in my prayers." Well, don't beat yourself up. It is a metamorphosis that takes place over time. That's why we are to grow. That's why we are to mature. We're not expected to absolutely, totally forget everything that we've ever been taught, but we have to work on it. The reality of heaven and hell motivate one to live godly in this life. Titus chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." How? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Those who have been sanctified are to live that way. And in so doing, an attitude is thereby developed in relation to right and wrong acts. How do we know what's right? How do we know what's wrong? Is it how we feel about it? What if somebody feels it's okay to break into my car and steal the stuff in it? Does that make it okay? It's not okay with me. It's not about our feelings. It's about what the Word has taught us. And it tells us, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good," in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. We are to hold to that which is good. We are to stand fast in that which is appropriate according to God. Jude verses 21 and 23 through 23 tells us, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Now, how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Well, I know no other way than doing God's commandments. looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, while we're doing that, we also got to help others. It says that some have compassion making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Notice, if you will, that which you are to hate. It is the sin, not the sinner. So that they too could have the opportunity to be sanctified in accordance to the Bible. A sanctified saint is never to return to the old sinful ways of their past. And I think that in the nature of man, it is always a struggle not to go back to that which we used to participate in, the old life. Those who love sin will in no way have an inheritance in the kingdom of God and in heaven. And the Bible tells us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It begins with this phrase, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetors, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And you say, well, if we were that way, then we're lost forever. No. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you." Now watch. "But ye are washed." That's when the change took place. "Ye are sanctified," set apart. "But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The Bible sanctification is important. And it's not how we determine how we can be sanctified. It's how the Bible determines we can be sanctified. To be biblically sanctified, you are separated from the world. You have chosen to be obedient to the gospel. The question then is, have you been sanctified in accordance to the Bible? If you have not, then you're not sanctified. But you can be. The Bible is very clear as to how this is to occur. One is to hear the gospel, and they are to do it. We know this because James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Having heard the word of God, we are to believe. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest what? Thou mayest be baptized. See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What did he believe? He believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're also told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that one must repent. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Having heard, believed, and repent, a person is to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what we believe, isn't it? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the very foundation of Christianity. In Matthew 10:32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." But here's a warning. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And then one is to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." Plain and simple. But while we're here, as we serve, having been sanctified, been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are to remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know, the sad truth of the matter is that there are those who, having been sanctified, allow themselves to slip back into the worldly things, the allure of the world. When that happens, they separated themselves from God. But God is gracious. He's given us the opportunity to come back. If as a child of God you strayed from God, then you're no longer sanctified. So what are you to do? You're to return to Him in repentance and prayer according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Tonight, if either of these situations is yours, please come. Be sanctified or come back to God in repentance and prayer as together we stand and sing the invitation song.